what has been done already here on this premises today. Think of all the Sunday school classes. Think of all the lessons that have been taught, all the sermons that have been shared and preached, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity right now. Lord, I pray that you meet our needs. I pray that you'd speak to us as individuals. Lead us and guide us. May our hearts be open to your word tonight. Lord, I look forward to the step of faith again at the end of service of baptism, and thank you for those four that have decided to not be ashamed of their faith, Lord. And I pray that you'd encourage them. Lord, I pray that the service would be an encouragement to them, that they would never forget today. Lord, we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 23, again, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." Pretty straightforward. Pretty exact. God says, if you love me, and we're going to get deeper into this, if you love me, you'll do what I say. And then he says this at the end of it, "And we will come unto him and make our abode with him." I love the sweetness of that. I love the thought of, I love God. I do what he tells me to do, and God in return makes his presence known in my life. Hey, that's personal. That's what God has promised. This is what I'm going to do. So often people want to get a hold of the Lord, yet choose not to obey what he says and wonder why God's nowhere to be found. That's why. If you love me and do what I say, I'll be with you. To make abode is not a visit. We had Buddy over today. We love Buddy. We love Buddy so much we suggested this. Cut him in two so we can share him. Two buddies are better than one. But he immediately said, "But what about," I said, "don't worry about the details of that. You'll have to figure that out." Buddy just came over for a visit. Where he abodes is, God says, "You love me, you do what I say, you do what I have told you to do, and I will make my, I'm not coming for a visit, I'm not just stopping by for coffee and tea, I'm not there for a moment, I am going to dwell with you." What a blessing that is. His presence. There's safety. There's joy. Psalm 16:11, verse 1. I feel like I've been at a lot. Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." God says, "You follow my path. I will show you the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. You do what I say. You go where I tell you to do. Go. You do what I instruct of you. I'm going to come. I'm going to dwell with you. And where I am, there's joy," he says. See, God's always working around you. He pursues a relationship with you that is real, that is personal. God's not in this thing just to try and get something out of you. All too often, earthly relationships are, "I'll be your friend just as long as I can borrow your status every now and then." That's not what God is looking for in a relationship with you. He's looking to have a real, personal relationship with you. And he invites you to fellowship with him. He speaks to us through prayer and Bible reading and circumstances. Isn't that true? Prayer time is not just us talking to God, but God talks to you in prayer time. He speaks to you through preaching. He speaks to you through the Word of God. And when he shows you what he's doing and asks you to come to where he's at, you know what? That's going to require faith. Hey, I appreciate our four people tonight that are getting baptized tonight. This isn't their ticket into heaven. They got that. That's settled. No, this is them making a move of faith. This is them publicly proclaiming, "I am a Christian and I'm not ashamed." A little nervous, but not ashamed. You know what that requires? That requires faith. And God says He's pleased with faith. You know, you believe the Lord, you trust Him, you'll love Him. And because you love Him, what does it say? In verse 23, you obey Him. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Is there anybody more trustworthy than the Lord Jesus Christ? Has He ever done anybody wrong? Never. Never. So He invites us to obey Him. And in His obedience, in our obedience to God, there's a byproduct. It's joy. Because in His presence, there is fullness of joy. So as we obey God, we believe God, we trust God, we love God. And in our love for God, we then obey Him. And because of our obedience to God, God says, not only am I going to bless your way, I'm going to make my presence known. I'm going to abode with you. And there's going to be something there that you can't have anywhere else. And it's called joy. This world chases hard after what only God can give, only to come up empty. The joy of obedience. Number one, we need to obey God. Same chapter, John chapter 14, verse 15. It says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. In verse 24 of the same chapter, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. I feel like it's pretty clear. If you love God, you're going to do what He says. Now, not all the time. I understand. I understand we're still sinners and we do choose to disobey the Lord. But what's your desire? Is it to obey God? Is it to get a hold of the truth and find out what it is that God wants you? Or are you trying to find a way to cut corner or make it look and appear like you're seeking after the truth? It says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. I think it's pretty clear, if you love me, you're going to try and do what I tell you to do. Because to love the Lord is to trust Him. There's no reason as a child of God would I ever come to the Lord and go, I don't know if what you're saying is right. Our obedience to God is our outward expression of our love to God. That is how we show that we love God. We do what He tells us to do. Because honestly, some of these things won't come to pass until the very end. You know what that takes? That takes faith. I trust God. I believe God. Therefore, I love God. And in my love for the Lord, I obey Him. And we'll see how it works out at the end. I'm putting everything I have in what it says. If you have an obedience problem, honestly, you don't really have an obedience problem. You have a love problem. Because it's easy to obey God when you love Him. Ever have a boss you didn't like? No matter what they say, you didn't like. Ever have a God that loves you and would die for you and do anything for you and just save you and has the best for you? And they tell you, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? God's ways, God's will is always the best way. God is all-knowing. His direction is always right. God is all-powerful. He will enable you to do His will. And if you love Him, you will obey Him. This is what's beautiful about Christianity. Not out of duty or force, but out of love. The love of Christ, we read it tonight. I think it was Chase. The love of Christ constraineth me. Know what it's like? I feel like it's pulling me in a direction. It's not forcing me. But it's showing me, hey, this is what I want from you. This is what's best for you. It's urging you. It's compelling. It's constraining. If you love Him, you'll obey Him. Again, not out of force. There's no gun barrel to my head. There's no demands. We worship God because we love God. And that's how He set it up. He set up a real relationship between man and God. But He does expect obedience. The revelation. Well, point number one, obey God. Point number two, the revelation of obedience. Our obedience, listen now, reveals what we believe about God. Is that not true? What you do speaks of what you believe. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Hey, when we're going to talk about this, the cost of disobedience. But when we're disobeying the Lord, we don't like to hear verses like this. You know, if we're not doing what God has asked us to do, and we read a verse like that, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments, all of a sudden we get very, very defensive. Who are you to judge me? I'm not judging you. I'm telling you what the Bible says. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, the Bible says this, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, and him verily is the love of God perfected." That means complete. "Hereby know we that we are in him. And he that saith," look at this, "and he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as we walked." Remember what we saw there in John chapter 14, that if you love God and you obey him, he's going to make his abode with you. And he says this in the same thought, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk." Hey, if you're saying that God lives where you are and his presence is in your life, there ought to be a conduct about you in obedience, not to what others are saying, but to what God says. He's the one we answer to. The revelation of obedience reveals what you believe about God. To finish the verse, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." What example do I follow? Men are flawed. I understand that. And there is an aspect to it. Follow me as I follow Christ, right? Just as long as the person you're following is following Jesus. But inevitably, what you're following is Christ. So I don't have an example. And, you know, many people say, "Oh, the Christianity is full of hypocrites." But just follow Jesus. Not one hypocritical word. Follow him. The revelation of obedience reveals what you believe about God. It reminds us that if we abide with him, our conduct ought to show that. James 2:20, I think Pastor Seatman mentioned it in a Sunday school class, right? Faith without works is dead. How good is it to say that we have faith that God lives with us and then it never changes our conduct? You cannot obey God unless you believe and trust in him. Look at Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 6. In verse 46, the Bible says, "And why call ye me Lord? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" There's a strong question, right? Why do you say I'm your God and you don't obey me, is what he's saying. He says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." See, that's what happens when you have God's presence in your life. "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently and Immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house, the Bible says, the ruin of that house was great. So why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's like the guy that built a house upon the sand. It's shallow. The relationship is shallow. And that's what obedience just reveals in us, our love for God. If we love God, we'll do what He asks us to do. So isn't that kind of hard? And that's what He said. To obey God, to revelation of obedience, the obedience of direction. Servants of God do what He directs. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Let's look at verse 28. What think ye? Matthew 21, 28. But what think ye? He's like, what do you think about this one? Certain man had two sons and came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. Seems a little rebellious if you ask me, Anna. Dad said, go work in the garden. Son said, no. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Obedience, I feel like the first guy a lot of times. Lord tells me to do something, I don't want to do that. And I think about it and go, yeah, I should do that. Sorry, Lord. Or are we like the second guy? Oh, yeah, I'll do that, Lord, sure, yeah, yeah. And then never touch it. What is obedience? Is it in word or is it in action? It's in action. Obedience is doing something. I know our salvation is not based on works, but it is evidence of our salvation. Our works and what we do proves what we believe. And God leads us and guides us. Can I just encourage you to obey what you already know to be God's will? Oh, I need to find God's will. He's made it very clear. He's told us what exactly He wants us to do. I'm thankful for second chances, aren't you? Remember Jonah? Go this way. I want you to go preach a very, very short message. 7 words, 8 words. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. That's all he had to say. And he's like, I'm going that way. And God said, well, what are you doing over here? And he gave him a second chance. I'm thankful for second chances because many of us, God has told them, I want you to go over here. And we say, all right. Only to have troubles and sorrows. Only to be swallowed up by life's darkest moments. But it's good to know that God does not give up on you. And He comes looking after you, just like that lost sheep, right? The 99 are here, one wanders off. He has a way of all of a sudden knocking at your heart's door when you least expect it. Jonah thought he got away from God. Can you ever get away from God, Braden? You can't. But there is a cost of disobedience. Poor Jonah almost lost his life. Disobedience is sometimes costly. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness after killing the Egyptian. Moses never got to go into the promised land because instead of speaking to the rock, he struck it. Disobedience. David, a child, died because of his sin with Bathsheba. Go to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. We're almost done. We're on page 2 of page 2. The sun is still out. Holiday tomorrow. You can go out for ice cream after church. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. Who's Aaron? Nathan, do you know who Aaron is? He's what? Moses' brother. He has a job. Does anybody know his job? Jonathan, do you know his job? What he was? He's the high priest. The highest priest in the nation of Israel. He's got two sons that have watched him do all of this. 100 times, 1,000 times, whatever it is. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them, his censer, and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord. They did what God told them not to do. The Bible says, which he commanded them not. Say, what is strange fire? Whatever it is that God said not to do with fire, they said, do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do what God told us not to do. I am here to tell you tonight, I don't care the circumstance. I don't care what it's about. I don't care the situation. It is never right to go against God. Never. It will never go well for you to disobey God. Never. How'd it go for these guys? Really bad. The Bible says, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Boom. Wouldn't that be something if God, the minute we disobey, boom, fire. There'd be a lot less people around. I am thankful for his mercy. I don't know why he chose to not be merciful. Maybe, hey, they should have known, whatever it is. I'm just here to tell you there's a consequence to disobedience. And we think that we can calculate it. Oh, we're just going to get kicked out of the priesthood. Oh, we're just going to be ostracized from dad or maybe kicked out of Israel. I don't think they were thinking that the minute they disobeyed God, fire was going to come down from heaven. But the consequences of disobedience are incalculable. We think we know what it's going to cost. Again, disobedience is never worthwhile. But obedience to God is always. John chapter 15. This is our last point. John 15. And this is where the joy comes in. John chapter 15. Let's look at verse 9. We saw to believe God is to trust God, which then leads us to love God. And our love for God, we obey God. We saw the dangers of disobedience. We saw the, and now we're going to see the blessings in obedience. John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in ye in my love. Verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Do you see that word abide again? Do you see that? Your obedience to me, there's a fellowship, there's a presence. Hey, listen to me tonight. If you can't hear the voice of God, you've not heard from God in a long time, check what you're doing. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Well, there it is. We believe God. We trust God. To believe God is to be saved. I believe everything that book says. God, I'm a sinner on my way to hell. And if I don't ask you to forgive me of my sin, if I die in my sin, it's over. There's no second chances once you're gone. Is it appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And after that, I believe what it says. And I believe the consequence to sin is hell, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God, you're the only way out. And I put my complete faith and trust that your blood can take away my sin. Save me. In Jesus' name, amen. Belief. Trust. Love. Obey. And then it says this. that your joy might be full. It's not even talking about God. God's not saying, I am just so glad you have chosen to obey me. Your life is going to be miserable, but me as God, I am just pleased. No. He says, you obey me, and the result in your life is that your joy is full. That's how you know it's real. When you read like those missionary stories and they're trapped in prison and it's just everything's all falling out, and yet they're sweet with the Lord, and you go, God, what are you doing? And they count it all joy to be suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you go, wow, it's nothing about their circumstance, is it? It's in their obedience to God. We could talk 1,000 different places. There's too many places to list of all the ways to obey God. For sake of the events tonight, I do want to mention baptism. Matthew chapter 28, look here. Matthew 28 and verse 19. I'll tell you this, you're not going to go in the water with a frown and come out with a smile. It doesn't work like that. But I am here to tell you, in your obedience to God, God says, I have something for you that you cannot manufacture on your own, but it comes from your listening, loving, and obeying me. And I'm going to give you joy. Say, all that from baptism? It's in obedience to Him. So yes, Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe obedience, all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. There's the presence. Even unto the end of the world, amen. Baptism is a public profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not your ticket, as we said, to heaven. God, I went to church, I gave money, and I got baptized. Therefore, you need to let me in. That's not how it works. If that was the case, the thief on the cross that day would never make it. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. This is just a public profession of a decision you made on the inside. Acts chapter 10. Look at this. Acts chapter 10. Acts 10, 48. Acts 10, 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. A whole bunch of people just put their faith and trust in Jesus and said, what do we do next? Get baptized, he said. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Hey, if this thing's for real inside your heart, you ought to be baptized. Say, you're just saying that because you're at the Baptist church. No! I'm saying it because that's what God says. And he commanded them. Doing what God has commanded, you know what that means? That's obedience. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, shortly after they were saved, they got baptized. Say, are you sure you don't need it for salvation? 1 Peter chapter 3. Go there. Say, I was going to Acts 2. Sorry. Threw you off. 1 Peter chapter 3. I love this verse. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. See? Baptism, salvation. Can we read the parenthesis? Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It does not remove your sin. But the answer of a good conscience toward God. It is an answer to the obedience. It is an answer to God's command. Jesus was baptized, not because he needed forgiveness of sins, but to be an example. That's why you get baptized, to answer the good conscience. Because when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, something inside said, keep growing. Keep moving forward. Romans chapter 6, last verse. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. It says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. It is a symbol. It is a picture of what happened. Jesus Christ, death, burial, and then resurrection. Hey, the old man is dead. And now I walk in newness of life. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That says there, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there ought to be a difference in your life. And that's what Romans 6 is all about. I love Romans 6. I think that's an excellent passage for baptism. Why are you getting baptized? No. It's because I want to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to do what he's told me to do. I want to take actually my first step of obedience to God. You know what he says? He says, man, I like that. I like that so much. I'm going to come spend some time with you, and I'm going to put something inside your heart called joy. And you keep obeying, and you keep doing right, and this thing is going to grow and get better and better, you and me. It doesn't mean life gets sweeter and there's more money in the account and the cars last longer and all of a sudden, you know, $50 of gas goes $100 worth, and that's not how it works. You don't get sick, no. It's just there's a presence. There's a joy. There's a peace in our obedience to God. First question, have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe? Next step, do you trust him? If you trust him, you'll love him. And if we love him, we'll obey him. And if we obey him, there will be joy. Say, I've got no joy. Where's the breakdown? Have you put your faith and trust? Do you love him? Are you obeying him? This book's never been wrong. If it says that's how it goes, then that's how it goes. And you can try and fight it, and you can try and go around it, and you can try and, now I'm going to prove that it's wrong. You'll only waste your time. So what has the Lord told you to do? Are you saved? Are you baptized? Are you separated? Are you sanctified? Are you obeying? What is it that God has told you to do, and you drew the line in the sand and say, no, I will not. I'm not saying he's going to kill you, but there's a consequence to disobedience. It's the opposite of joy. If obedience produces joy, I am here to tell you that disobedience produces misery. The most miserable person is the person that has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and chooses to disobey him. So if you're here tonight and that's you, you know, when Jonah was in the mouth, in the belly of the whale, he'd been there for 3 days, and he just made right with God, not to get out of the whale. Honestly, if you get swallowed by a whale, that's it. You're not thinking, you know, next Thanksgiving, I'm going to do some things different. I'm going to be nicer to my kids when I get out of here. I'm going to pay those bills on time. I'm going to be a new person when I get out of here. No, you're thinking, this is it. He had no reason to make right with God other than it was right. And in his step of obedience and just making right with the Lord, the Lord gave him a second chance. I wonder where you're at tonight. Are you in the need of a second chance? Let's all stand.